We are finishing up our Collide series this afternoon. We have timed it just like last week to talk about Palm Sunday on Palm Sunday, and we have timed it this day to talk about Good Friday on Good Friday. Our Collide series, When Heaven Meets Earth, is all about that time when Jesus became a man. It is coming to that climax now. It's coming to its pinnacle. It's going to happen in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. It culminates on Good Friday and on Easter. This is what the collision has been all about. This is what the collision has been leading to, that on Friday, Jesus is crucified, and Sunday, God raises him from the dead. Jesus overcomes this world. The collision belongs to him now. He overcomes sin and death. And on that Friday, what we call Good Friday, Jesus was crucified. The Son of God, the perfect man, died on the cross at Calvary. Satan thought he had won. Surely he thought he had destroyed the Son of God, for Jesus was indeed dead. We call it Good Friday because of what God actually accomplished in the death and resurrection of Jesus, but it indeed was the darkest day in the history of the world. But that was Friday. And we all know Sunday's coming. And it was Friday. And Jesus was praying, and Peter was sleeping, and Judas was betraying. But we know Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat him. They put a scarlet robe on him. They crowned him with a crown of many thorns. But they don't know that it's only Friday and Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Jesus is walking to Calvary. His blood is dripping. His body is stumbling. And his spirit is burdened. But you see, that's because it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday, then soldiers nail his hands and his feet to the cross, and they raise him up next to criminals. But that's because it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Jesus is hanging on the cross, bloody and dying, forsaken by his Father, left all alone. But that's because it was Friday, and Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the sky grows dark, the earth begins to tremble, and he who knew no sin became sin for us. The holy God, who will not have anything to do with sin, poured out his wrath on that perfect sacrificial lamb who cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a horrible cry. But that's because it was Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. At the moment of Jesus' death, the veil of the temple that separates sinful man from holy God was torn from the top to the bottom. Because that was Friday. And because Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He is now dead. Heaven is weeping. Hell is partying. But that's because it's only Friday. And they don't know that Sunday's coming. And indeed, Sunday comes. Sunday being the greatest day in the world, for the stone was rolled away. Jesus is indeed alive. He has come back to life. God has raised him from the dead. And on Sunday, death loses its sting. The grave loses its victory. On Sunday, hell is defeated. Death was dethroned and darkness was derailed. Sin lost and shame died. Hope soared and love won. Because that was Sunday. It's Sunday, and the angel of the Lord is sitting on that stone, and he's saying, he is not here, for he has risen indeed. And it's Sunday, and Sunday changed everything. Death did not win. Satan did not win. God did. And Sunday means that everything that Jesus has been saying up to this point, everything he's been saying about God, everything about life, about death, about faith, about love, about forgiveness, about suffering, about turning our lives over to him, everything Jesus has been saying is now all true. For Sunday has made it possible for us to know God in the same way that Jesus knows him, in a very personal sense, in a very direct sense, for Sunday changes everything. Sunday is the most fear-defying, joy-inspiring, life-giving, hope-producing day in the history of the world, and we will celebrate that again on Sunday morning. And yet we are told in Matthew chapter 12, there are some scribes and Pharisees that are coming to Jesus, and they are saying to him, Jesus, we just need a sign. If you'll give us a sign, then we will believe. Well, they've already seen lots of signs, and they don't believe. And Jesus knows the intent of their heart, and that no one more miracle is not going to make them believe. But Jesus says, I'll tell you what, I will give you one sign. I'll give you one sign. And he calls that sign. He says, I'll give you the sign of Jonah. I'll give you one sign. Jesus said, for as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days. 3 days. At the heart of the story of Jesus and his death and his resurrection are these 3 days. Not two, three. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, and that day in between. So I have a question. We just talked about Friday. We just talked about Sunday, and we know what they are all about. But the question is, I wonder about Saturday. What happened on Saturday? On Good Friday, our sins were paid for. On Easter Sunday, our hope was brought to life. What happened on Saturday? The only thing we're directly told is that they placed some guards amongst the tomb in order to protect the body. Other than that, we're not given much else at all. And so in order to get a grasp on this Saturday day, let's not look at it from our standpoint, for we are on this side of Sunday. We're looking back, but they were on the other side of Sunday looking forward. All they knew was Friday and then Saturday. Let's look from the perspective of the disciples who were there when they saw Jesus crucified on the cross. They didn't know, or at least they didn't understand that that was Friday, but Sunday's coming. You see, Saturday was the day after the crucifixion. And when Saturday came, the disciples have now been up for probably two straight days. They were probably getting very tired. It had been a very, very busy week. They came into town on Palm Sunday and all the hoopla, and Jesus came and he tore apart all of the temple and he cursed that fig tree and all the things. And then he did some teaching. He was with the disciples in the upper room, and they had the Last Supper, and he did a lot of final teaching. Then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there we know that he prays and he submits his will to the will of the Father, but he is in such agony that he is sweating drops of blood. And the disciples were there, and they couldn't even keep their eyes open. They were tired then, and so that was like on Thursday, and now it's getting late because now Judas has come, and Jesus is betrayed, and they come and they arrest him, and they take Jesus to the high priest and to the Sanhedrin, and then to Pilate, and then to the people and the crowd. And it's a very, very busy time. And the crowd cries, crucify him, crucify him. And so Jesus is crucified. And by now on Friday night, I bet the disciples are exhausted. I bet they're physically exhausted. I bet they're emotionally exhausted. Their master, their teacher, has just been killed. That was Friday. They wake up on Saturday morning, and the city that was screaming for blood the day before is now quiet. The crowds have all been disbanded, and Jesus is dead. And what do you do on that Saturday? I think if they're like we or we are like them, I think they gather and they get together. I think they quietly and they secretly get together and they begin to remember and they begin to talk about what it was that took place. That's what people do. When there's been a death like that, we gather and we talk about memories, and we talk about what happened. We remember the things that Jesus said, and they remember what he taught, and the things that Jesus did, and all of his miracles, and they remember all the people that he touched and the people that he healed. My guess is they began to remember their hopes and their dreams. They were going to change the world, and now it all seems lost, and they're stunned. It's all gone. All of their dreams, all of their future, the way they thought it was going to be, and now it's gone. And maybe they talk about, well, what went wrong? And maybe in their hearts they're trying to come to grips with something really unfathomable to them and to maybe to all of us, but it looks like Jesus failed. It looked like Jesus ended up a failure as he died on the cross. And that probably gets them to thinking about their own failures, and they probably remember Judas's failure when he betrayed Jesus. And they probably remember Peter's failure when he three times denied even knowing the man after saying, "I will go to my death to be with you, Jesus." And in a few short hours, he is denying, "I don't even know the man." Maybe they're remembering how they all, at the time Jesus needed them the most, they all abandoned him. And it says that everyone deserted him and fled after he was arrested. And Saturday's the day they have to realize that they have to now live in their failures. They have to live in their pain, in their disappointments, in their regrets, and in their fears. They still have to live on Saturday. See, on Saturday, the adrenaline of the crisis of the day before is over, but now they have to live with the aftermath, which means they have to live with the guilt and the embarrassment and the shame and the disappointment and the frustration, and at least they have to live with that until some answer comes to them. And they don't know an answer's coming. They don't know Sunday's coming. They're just living in Saturday. And see, Saturday becomes that day in between the crucifixion and the resurrection. It is the day between the pain of Good Friday and the jubilation of Resurrection Sunday. Saturday is the day between fear and hope, between pain and comfort, between despair and joy, between confusion and understanding, between bad news and good news, between darkness and light, between hate and love, between death and life, between brokenness and healing. Saturday is the day in between. It's the day after a prayer is prayed, but before it's answered. Saturday is the day after a person gets crushed, but before he is lifted back up. Saturday's the day that after your dream has died and you wake up and you're still alive and you have to go on, but you don't know how and you even don't know why, because the dream has died. It is the in-between day. It is the day between your pain and your resurrection. And Saturday is where you and I live too. Except we know that Sunday's coming. And if you know Jesus, then you know Sunday's coming, even in the midst of your Saturday. Saturday is living in the what next after the shock of some crisis. Maybe it's a death, maybe it's cancer, maybe it's sorry, but we're going to have to let you go. Maybe it's a divorce. See, on Saturday, we do not know what the future will bring, but we do know the one who will bring the future, We don't know if the cancer is going to be cured. We don't know if we will love again. We don't know if we will find another career or... But because we know Jesus, we know that there will be a Sunday someday. There will be a Sunday someday. We just don't know when. The disciples and those before, they didn't know it was coming at all. And they were lost in that Saturday. We are in the midst of our Fridays and our Saturdays, but we know at some point, we know there is a Sunday coming. And I find it very interesting that the Bible says that Jesus had to experience these 3 days. He had to experience the agony of Friday and of Saturday before Sunday. 3 days. So what happened on Saturday? I think what happened on Saturday was the silence of God. It was silence. We're not told. There's no real statement in the scriptures about what happened on that Saturday. We're not told much. There's just the silence and the silence of God. How often does it seem that in our pain, in the midst of our Fridays and our Saturdays, that God is silent, or at least he's absent, or he's not listening to us? And in the midst of that silence, we have to wait and wait and wait and wait for Sunday to come. After trouble hits you, after the agony of Friday, you call out to God on Saturday, God, help me. Listen, please. Listen to me. Respond to me. Do something. Say something. And sometimes there's just nothing. And on Saturday, in addition to the pain of Friday, there's the pain of the apparent silence and even the absence of God himself. You lose a job. You lose a friend. You lose your health. You have a dream for your child. You have a dream for your work. You have a dream for your life. And on Friday, it dies. What do you do on Saturday? What do you do till Sunday comes, if it comes? Do you know that it's coming? If you know Jesus, then you know it's coming. That he's got a Sunday planned. We just don't know when. What do we do on that Saturday? Some people choose despair. In other words, some people just tend to give up. There is never going to be a Sunday. It's Friday. It's always going to be Friday. It's Saturday. It's always going to be Saturday. Do not get your hopes up because hope hurts too much. There is no hope. There is no Sunday. Many others choose denial. They kind of cover it up. They ignore it. They look for really simplistic explanations, easy answers, or artificialness. They look for ways to just ignore the pain and to cover it up. Some go to despair, some go to denial. But I think there's a third option. And that third option is that on Saturday, you can wait. You can wait on the Lord on Saturday. I don't mean just sit around. But wait on the Lord, for you know Sunday is coming. You know the story. You trust that God will bring Sunday to you in his timing. So what you do is you wait. You trust. As Jesus did in the garden, you submit your will to the will of the Father. Lord, it's not my will, but what you want. Reminded of Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting means whatever I do while it's Saturday, whatever I do it with God. I learn to work with him even if he feels far away. I learn to know that Sunday is coming, and therefore I will trust him, and therefore I will wait. I remember the words of Jesus who said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's a Saturday prayer. We learn on Saturday that we need to listen to him. That we need, it's okay to ask him question after question. It's okay on Saturday to complain all you want to him. In fact, if there's no other way to connect with him than to complain, then I encourage you that you complain. And that you go to his word and you read. And the best book in the Bible to read on a Saturday is the Psalms. The single most common type of psalm is called a psalm of complaint or psalm of lament. What they are Saturday psalms. They're psalms to read while you are in the midst of a Saturday after the Friday but before the Sunday. They're psalms that say, "God, do something. God, why are you not doing something?" See, the issue is, for me, Jesus had to go through Saturday too. He went through Friday, but he had to go through Saturday too. And because Jesus went through Friday and Saturday, and then the resurrection on Sunday, we can go through Friday and we can go through Saturday trusting that Sunday will come. I don't know when, but we will wait on God. Through our Fridays and through our Saturdays, we will be waiting for our deliverance. We'll be waiting for our resurrection. You know what happened to the disciples? They went through their Saturday, and they ultimately found their Sunday. For their interaction with the risen Christ after he came and showed himself to them, for their interaction and the coming of the Holy Spirit that came upon them at Pentecost, just a few days later, they were changed men and they were forever changed. They went from walking out on Jesus to standing up for Jesus, even to the point of death, just like Jesus. They saw the risen Christ and it changed them. Are you in a Saturday kind of day right now? Friday has already happened and Sunday hasn't come. And even though you may be in a Saturday day, you can be with God on Saturday. Even in disappointment, even in failure, even in pain, you can be with God on Saturday in a way, really, that you can't be with him on almost any other day. For on Saturday, you can be with him. Why? Because on Saturday, you know on a Saturday that he is your only hope for a Sunday. The only hope. And because on Saturday you know he is your only hope, by faith you just wait. And you lean on him, you learn from him, you question him, you complain to him, but you wait for his Sunday. I read an example that I thought just really made sense to me. I'm sure you've all been to the circus and you've seen those high-flying trapeze artists, the ones that are swinging and jumping and grabbing onto each other. And if you think about a guy on the trapeze who has let go of one bar and he's waiting to be caught, but he has not been caught yet, he's just hanging in the air. What a great picture of faith and trusting. See, there's two kinds of trapeze artists. There are the flyers. Those are the guys that, when they let go, they fly through the air and all kind of somersaults and all that kind of stuff. And then there are the flyers, and then there's the catchers. And there was a flyer one time who said this. He said, "People think the flyers are the stars because we're doing somersaults in the air and it looks really cool. But the real star is the catcher." A flyer has to fly. A catcher has to catch. But the flyer must trust with his outstretched arms that the catcher will be there ready and able to catch him. Well, that's Saturday. On a Saturday, you're hanging in midair. No matter how long it lasts, you're hanging in midair. And yet, because you know that Sunday has already come, you know that the risen Savior is indeed there, ready to catch you. So whatever your pain, whatever your rejection, whatever dream that has died in your life, whatever longing has not been fulfilled, whatever your failure, whatever your regret, whatever your shame, whatever your disappointment, it is not the end. Saturday is not the end. It is only Saturday, but Sunday is coming. So don't give up. Don't despair. Don't waver. Don't deny. Don't give in. Don't quit. Don't tank it. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the risen Christ. Hold on, because Sunday is coming. Friday has already happened. You may be in the midst of Saturday, but the promise of the risen Christ is that I will bring Sunday to you if you will but wait for me. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, thank you. Thank you, Father, that you have gone through Saturday and that the disciples went through Saturday, and that it wasn't just Friday and just Sunday, Lord, that there was this other day, for sometimes you are silent and we do not hear from you. Father, thank you that you are there even in the midst of those times when we can't hear you, when we don't see you, but we know that you're there, for we know the story. We know Sunday. Father, thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross in our place to pay the penalty for our sins, and that you raised him from the dead, and that you have now victory that has been assured, and we will trust you and we will wait for you one moment, one day, one week, one month, one year at a time, whatever it takes. We know that you are ready to catch us, and we will trust you that you will, and that you will come on that Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.